Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
Turn to John chapter 14, verse 6. We're going to read from that. So this is Jesus. Let there be light, Lord. This is Jesus, thank you, talking to his disciples, and he's trying to explain to them that he's going to be leaving soon, right? And they're all a little bit confused. So Thomas, you got to love Thomas, right? Thomas pipes up and says to Jesus, excuse me, we don't know where you're going, so how are we going to know the way? And Jesus responds, I am the way. I'm the truth, and I'm life, and you can't get to God except through me. That's the exclusivity of Jesus. And a lot of people have a hard time with that. Like I said, they want to believe that all roads lead to God. They want to believe that all religion leads to God. And Jesus makes an exclusive claim that he's the only way to God.
Yeah, that's right. It's true.
People have a problem with that. Maybe you're here today and you got a little bit of a problem with that. That's okay. Or maybe you want to believe it, but you're not quite sure how all of it works or what it all means. I get that. So you know what? I'm going to ask you something today. I'm going to ask you this morning to just consider Jesus. I'm not asking you to consider religion. I'm not asking you to consider Christians, because y'all know some of us Christians, a little sketchy. I'm not even asking you to consider this church or Pastor Bob or me. Matter of fact, don't consider me. Because I'll mess you up real fast. I try to set a good example, but y'all, I'm not perfect. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to disappoint you. So don't consider me. There's only one person who's perfect, and that's who I want you to consider today, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. Consider Jesus Christ this morning. And then there's three specific aspects of his life that I'd like you to look at with me. And the first one is his ministry. Consider the ministry of Jesus. In other words, look at why he came, who he came for, and how he treated them. You know, you can always tell who somebody really is by the way they treat people who can do absolutely nothing for them. So let's look at Jesus. Let's consider who Jesus came for and how he treated them. We're going to look at Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 16. Y'all got it? Did y'all get it? Mark chapter 2, verse 16. When the teachers of the law, who were the Pharisees, saw him eating, talking about Jesus, saw Jesus eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Y'all got to get the picture here. Here's Jesus. He's chilling. He's having dinner. And he's hanging out with the very people, the dregs of society, if you will, that the church leaders didn't want to have anything to do with. And the church people, they see this, and they're over there whispering to Jesus' disciples, trying to talk behind his back to his own people. Anyway, they ask his disciples, why is he eating with those people? Jesus is supposed to be holy. Why is he hanging out with them? And the Bible says that Jesus overheard them, and he piped back to the religious leaders. And this is what I need you to hear. Jesus said to the religious leaders, it's the healthy. They don't need a doctor, but the sick do.
Right.
I have not come to call the righteous. I came for the sinners.
That's right.
That's the ministry of Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus didn't come for those who have it all together. Oh, no, Jesus came for people who need grace and mercy and healing.
Yes. Yes.
Jesus came for those of us who the church says isn't good enough. Not clean enough. You're not holy enough. The ones who don't have it all together. You see, the very people that the church and society rejects, those are the ones that Jesus welcomes. Jesus isn't into perfect people. He's into the edgy ones, the addicted ones, the ones who did Lord knows what last night, the ones who need healing, people like me. People whose only hope is in the Savior of the world. Jesus came for the hopeless, y'all. The guy who's so lost in his sin, he don't even know he needs a Savior. Jesus came for the woman who's ashamed of what she did last night, who she did it with, and where she was. Jesus came for the broken, y'all. He came for the marginalized, the hurting, the people that religion judges and discards. That's who Jesus came to rescue. And he came full of miracles. You know what? At some point, if you haven't already, you're going to need a miracle in your life.
That's right. Yeah.
And Jesus has lots of them.
Come on, yeah.
Let me tell you what he did. He opened blind eyes, y'all. Did it however he wanted to do it too. Can't be boxing in Jesus, because Jesus will do what Jesus is going to do. One day he spit, put some spit in some mud, opened somebody's eyes. Another day he just touched them. Jesus opened blind eyes. He healed deaf ears, and he gave the mute their voice back. You know, one of my favorite stories is this woman, and she was hemorrhaging. She was hemorrhaging. She spent all the money she had on doctors, and nothing they did could fix it. And this desperate, hurting woman reached out and literally crawled through the crowd to touch the hem of Jesus' garment, and miraculously, she was healed. Jesus did that. That's the miracle ministry of Jesus. And as a matter of fact, check this out. His very first miracle, Jesus turned the water into wine. Don't you know that would jack with some religious people today? Wine? Really? But they forget. Jesus was human. He came to earth as a man, and he did it so that he could experience life like we do. So he'd know how we feel. Hebrews 4 says that Jesus is our high priest who's familiar with our weaknesses, our sufferings. And he's got miracles for that. Miracles. And you know what's so interesting about all the miracles that Jesus performed? Is that nobody disputed their validity. Nobody said it didn't happen. They saw it. The religious leaders saw it and they wanted it to stop. And you know why? Because it messed with their religion. They had come up with all these rules. Doesn't religion do that? Do this, don't do that. A lot of don'ts in there. And that's what the Jewish leaders did. They added all these other rules and saying, this is how you get right with God. And Jesus comes along and says, nah, man, y'all got it wrong. It's me. It's me. It's only me. Jesus said, it's only through me that you can get to God. And that was a problem for them back then. And you know what? It's a problem for some people today too. Because you know what? Jesus is still the only way, and he's still in the business of miracles. And some of you in this room, you know that. You know that. You know that because you are a miracle of the ministry of Jesus. All around you, there are people in this room who can say, I was that way, and I'm not anymore. And what happened in between was Jesus. There are people here who can say, I was addicted, and now I'm free. I was full of anger and hate and bitterness. I'm not like that anymore. All around you are miracles of the ministry of Jesus, including me. I didn't have the best childhood, y'all. The truth is, I grew up with a lot of shame. You know, my parents were kind of well known in the community, right? So you couldn't do anything without somebody seeing it and somebody saying something. It was like living in a fishbowl. And my dad was a drinker. He was a drinker. And he loved college football. So on Saturdays, around halftime, just when he was feeling no pain, Dad would make a beer run to the grocery store. And it would never fail. He'd always run into somebody we knew. Now my dad, he could care less what people thought. But my mom, she absolutely cared. And since she couldn't control my dad, she tried to control me instead. So I grew up in a very dysfunctional home with all these rules and expectations about how I was supposed to act, and I better not embarrass the family. Well, the problem was I could never measure up, y'all. I was a feral child. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all got feral kids. So you know what I'm talking about. But let me tell you something. When a kid grows up feeling like they can never be good enough or do good enough, it leaves a void in their hearts. And eventually, they're going to try to fill it with something. That's what happened to me. So for years, I tried to fill that void with drugs, alcohol, relationships, some very bad relationships, anything I could find to maybe make me feel like I was lovable, worthy of being loved and accepted. And despite all that dysfunction in my life, it didn't seem like my life was that bad. Despite the dysfunction, it didn't seem like my life was that bad because, you know, I finished college. I had a great career, had three beautiful daughters. But you know what? I also had two failed marriages, and I was in another bad relationship. And I was headed for another broken heart. And all of that caught up with me one day. I remember vividly. I was desperate. I felt so alone with nowhere to turn. My life seemed great, but I was a mess, y'all. So you know what I did? I went to church, and Jesus met me there. I knew he would. I knew he would, because you know what? When I was 10 years old, he had met me at church before. And as I stood down at the altar, feeling hopeless, helpless, horrible, Jesus met me, and he called my name. And I answered him, but this time, I gave him all of me, all my pain, all my hurt, all my failures, my disappointments, the shame that I had been living with my entire life. I gave it all to Jesus. And you know what he did? He gave me a new life. That old me, she's gone. That hood rat, she's gone. I'm not the same person, y'all, and it's because I'm standing here today telling you because of the ministry of Jesus Christ. So won't you consider it? Won't you consider the ministry of Jesus? And then I want you to consider the death and the resurrection of Jesus as well, because it happened. It happened. They're historical accounts, eyewitness testimony that it happened. But not only that, there are documented witnesses to the events that occurred after Jesus rose from the grave. People saw him. They hung out with him. Although, you know what? There may have been others who were raised from the dead. Matter of fact, Lazarus was raised from the dead, and Jesus is the one that did it. But Jesus' resurrection is different, y'all. And it's different because of who he is. You see, Lazarus was just a regular guy. But Jesus, he's the Son of God. He is God. He wasn't born in sin like us, y'all. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit in a virgin. A virgin gave birth to Jesus. And then he lived a perfect, sinless life. And this is important, y'all. This is important. I'm about to tell you why. You see, when you break the law, there's a penalty. If you go barreling down 410, you're going to get stopped. You're going to get a ticket. That's because you broke the law. When you break God's laws, there's also a penalty. But the penalty is death, and it requires a blood sacrifice to pay that penalty. Well, before Jesus came, people had to bring basically a perfect animal into the temple so that the high priest could sacrifice it, and then its blood would be poured out on the altar of God to atone for the sins of the family who brought the animal. Can you imagine having to do that? Can you imagine having to? You think it's bad, get your kids riled up and put in a car to get to church? Bring an animal with you. Put a goat in the back seat. That's a lot. And it's a lot. It was a lot back then. But not only that, you can never fully obey the law of God back then because the Jewish leaders kept adding to it. God gave Moses 10. And the religious people added all this other stuff to it. So it was basically impossible to stay in good standing with God. But not now. Not now, because Jesus came. He came as the perfect sacrifice to pay for our sins. This is why the death and resurrection of Jesus is different. Look at what the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 3. It's Galatians 3, starting in verse 11. Paul is saying that if you're trying to live out the law of Moses, good luck with that. Because because you know what? It's like living under a curse. Because it's not humanly possible to keep all those laws. And then he goes on to say that if you do somehow manage to follow all the rules, that's still not going to save you. Because God wants us to live by faith. God wants us to believe and accept that what Jesus did on the cross is all that's needed to pay for our sins. You didn't bring an animal in here today. You don't have to. Jesus is the blood sacrifice. When he died on that cross, he broke the curse of death and sin for us forever. Jesus paid our debt. And only he could because he was perfect. Remember, it requires a perfect sacrifice. Jesus was perfect. He knew no sin so that he could take on our sin to redeem us. And you know what? He did it willingly. Can you imagine? He knew what he was going to go through. He's God. Jesus sees yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He knew what he was about to go through, y'all. He knew it was going to be brutal. Luke 22:44 says that in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed in agony, so much agony that he sweat drops of blood. That's the humanity of Jesus. And in the humanity of Jesus, he asked God three times, not once, but three times, to take it away. The humanity of Jesus, a son, going to his father, asking his father. He knew what he was about to face. And he asked his father, God, if there is any other way to do this, please take this away. But then, because of who he is, the God-man in flesh, Jesus Christ, he surrendered to the will of his Father. And you know why he did it? Because he knew you were worth it. All those years ago, he knew you'd be sitting here today and you were worth it. Whether you believe it or not, he still did it for you. He didn't want you to be chained in sin and death anymore. The torment in your mind, the shame, the rejection, the pain. He didn't want that. So he did it willingly. He allowed himself to be mocked, to be made fun of, to be laughed at, to be spit on, cussed at, insulted, beaten mercilessly, y'all. Beaten mercilessly beyond recognition, almost to the point of death. And after all of that, Jesus hung on that wooden cross in a body racked by pain. You cannot even imagine the pain. But you know what? He had a heart filled with love and compassion. So he looked up to heaven and he prayed to his Father. The most incredible, beautiful prayer ever. He prayed for his tormentors, those that had sinned against him, for you, for me. His last prayer on earth. And Jesus asked God to forgive them. He said, Father, please forgive them. They don't really know what they're doing. And that prayer was prayed for them. And for us, and for those that would reject him, God forgive them. Every sin ever committed, every sin that will be committed, was laid on the nails that were driven through his hand. And they were placed on the tip of the spear that was thrust into his side. And when Jesus finished that prayer, he cries out in victory. His victory cry was, it is finished. It is finished. And then he gave up his life. That might not seem like much of a victory cry, y'all, but it was. It was a victory for us, for you, for us. In those three words, Jesus told the world, I came to do what I was born to do, and I will be back. And in that moment, his blood was poured out. The sky turned dark. There was a worldwide earthquake. Picture it. The sky goes black. The earth is shaking. And the veil in the temple was torn. That's significant. The separation between us and God was torn apart because of what Jesus did on the cross. The old way is gone. Jesus paid the ultimate price for our sin so that we would never, ever have to be separated from God. But it doesn't stop at his death, y'all. We have to consider the resurrection of Jesus. Because you know what? 3 days later, he rose from that tomb. Just like he said he would. There's no disputing it. There were witnesses. 3 days after they killed him, they thought it was done. Three women show up at the tomb where Jesus was buried, and the stone had been rolled away, and he wasn't there. That caused a situation, y'all. There was a big situation behind that. The Jewish leaders freaking out, scrambling around. What's going on? Somebody must have stole his body. They couldn't accept what he did. They couldn't accept that he came to do. He did what he said he came to do. They couldn't believe it. They didn't want to believe it. So they're scrambling. They're trying to find, no, somebody must have stolen his body. So then they try to blame the Roman guards, that were posted outside his tomb. But there is no way those Roman guards would have stolen that body. And you want to know why? Because when they put Jesus in the tomb, they were required to seal it with a wax seal and then stamp it with the seal of the Roman government. And the soldiers knew that if they were to break that seal, they were going to be next. They didn't do it. The fact is, there is no way to explain it away, y'all. It happened. He rose. His body isn't there. And you know what? Over 500 people saw him after he rose from the dead. And if it didn't happen, let me ask you this. Why would his followers do everything they could to continue to spread his message all over the world? Why else would they ignore the threat of death themselves? In fact, every single one of his disciples, except for John, was martyred, killed brutally for continuing to spread the message of Jesus Christ after the resurrection. Why would they do that? Why would they be willing to die for the gospel if it weren't true? Something inspired them to keep the message going, no matter what the cost. And that something was an empty tomb. The disciples were willing to give everything up, including their lives, for Jesus because they saw the power of his resurrection. They witnessed the birth of the early church. And in one day, over 3,000 people gave their life to Jesus in the early church. They put their faith in what he did in the empty tomb. And today, almost 2,000 years later, y'all, there are millions and millions of people all over the world that have put their faith in Jesus because they also believe in the power of the empty tomb. Consider Jesus. Consider his ministry. Consider his death and resurrection. And the third thing I want to ask you to consider is the eternal message of Jesus Christ. The eternal message of Jesus Christ is how we're made right with God. The Bible says that we all fall short in this life. None of us is perfect. None of us have it all together. And I love Romans 3:24 because it encapsulates the eternal message of Jesus. And it says, anyone can be made right with God by the free gift of his loving favor. It's Jesus Christ who bought us with his blood and made us free from our sins. I want you to notice God's gift, his free gift, his favor is a free gift. And the gift is Jesus, sent to pay for your sins with his blood. We're made right with God by putting our faith in Jesus and what he did on that old rugged cross. That's it. That's what it says. Religion Religion says that you got to do everything right to get right with God. That's not what the Bible says. We just read it. So you can toss religion out. I said it. The Bible doesn't say we're made right with God by being good enough or not yelling at your kids or not fighting with your husband on the way to Easter Sunday church. That's not how you're made right. No, we're made right with God only by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. And the best part is, this is true for anyone who believes. Rich, poor, black, white, brown, purple, anybody. Doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. I need somebody here right now to hear me when I say that. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how much money you got in the bank or how much money you don't got. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if your life is all jacked up right now. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many people you've hurt either or how many things you've done ugly. You can be made right with God right now simply by receiving the free gift of Jesus Christ and what he did on that cross. It's called salvation. It's called salvation because Jesus saved your life by paying the penalty you owed for your sins. Think about it like this. You get this big bill in the mail, this huge bill. You don't have the money to pay it. And you get all these threats. They're going to garnish your wages. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. They'll cut your lights off. I don't know. You get a big bill, huge debt. You can't pay it. And then somebody steps in and pays it for you. The debt's gone. That's what Jesus did on the cross. He paid the debt you owed. Y'all, this isn't about religion. Jesus didn't come to start a religion. The marginalized and performing incredible documented miracles of healing and restoration. And then this man predicts his death. And then he says he's going to be resurrected. And it happens. He dies. And then he literally comes out of the grave, just like he said it was going to happen. For me, that sounds like a God worth believing, worth worshiping, worth serving. You know, we all serve some sort of God. Think about it. Whatever gets more of you than God gets, that's your God. Might be your job, might be money. You're working all the time to make all this money so you can have all these things, live this good life. Could be a hobby, could be one of your kids' hobbies. Wherever you're spending your time and the money most, we all serve some kind of God when you really think about it. But if there's a guy who says and does everything Jesus said and did, doesn't it seem plausible that he really is God? Jesus was tortured. He was tortured. Hung on a cross. That is the worst sort of death back in the day. Because you know why? People would walk by and insult you, spit on you, laugh at you, jeer at you. Jesus endured that. And then he rose again 3 days later, just like he said was going to happen. And he said he was doing that for you. Whether you believe him or not, he did it for you. Why wouldn't you put your faith and your trust in him? You know, I don't know how it all works, but I do know that Jesus is real. God is real, and you have no idea how much he loves you. He really does. Jeremiah 31:3 says that he pursues you with an everlasting love, y'all. That's a love that never ends. People can only love you so much. God's love is forever, forever. It never dies. And I personally know that love. I was a broken woman. I was jacked up, full of shame, regret, anger. I had turned my back on God. Y'all, I had turned my back on God. I said, I don't need this. I got this. And he still pursued me. He heard everything I said. He saw everything I did. Friends, you can never be so far gone that God can't rescue you. We'll say it again. You are not too far gone that God cannot rescue you. And he wants to. He wants to. He wants you. He wants a relationship with you. He knows the pain you went through. He saw what they did to you. It wasn't right. And he wants to restore everything that was stolen from you. He knows those tormenting thoughts, y'all. Those racing, tormenting thoughts. And he has healing in his hands. All the disappointments, all the shame, that burning anger in your heart, that unforgiveness, that rage because of what happened, or even what you did. Jesus died for all of that. For all of it. He wants to heal you from that. God sent his perfect, loving son, Jesus Christ, to deliver you from all of that and to bring you a new life and peace. Peace. Even if you're the one that caused the mess, God has mercy for you. Mercy says we don't get what we deserve. And then God has grace for you. He gave you and me what we don't deserve. And that's forgiveness for everything we've ever done and everything you will ever do. And it's all through Jesus. It's all through Jesus. Because of what Jesus did, your sins can be erased, not covered up, erased. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, your sins are done. They're done. They're at the bottom of the ocean. Your life can be restored. Friends, your eternity can be secure, all because of what Jesus did. So won't you consider Jesus? Consider his ministry, his miracles, and his eternal message. Will you bow your heads? Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that you sent your perfect son for us, God. Thank you. Lord, thank you for the tomb, that it's empty. Father, thank you for every soul in this building right now. Lord, reach your hand out and touch their hearts. Father God, push back the chains and the walls that they've built up to protect themselves from the pain, the regrets, the shame, the doubts, whatever it is, Lord. Let your love seep through the cracks of broken hearts right now in this building. God, remind everyone here that we don't have to be perfect. You know that we are but dust. You know that, Lord. You know how you made us. Father, I pray that everybody here will know beyond the shadow of a doubt that Jesus didn't come for religion. Jesus came for relationship. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for a healing touch. I thank you that you bring everything we need in your precious son, Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. We praise your holy name. In Jesus' name. If you just stay in this moment a little bit longer, just a little bit longer. If you're here today, and maybe you don't understand it all, but you feel this tug on your heart, there's something in you that's like, this sounds like it could be real. If that's you here today, I pray that God draws you closer into him so that you are at peace as you surrender your life to Jesus. If you believe that Jesus is who he said he is, and you believe that he did what he said he can do and what he did, then you have a chance right now to surrender everything to him. It's the great exchange. It's a great exchange, y'all. You give him your brokenness, your tormented thoughts, your pain, your shame, and then he takes that and he gives you freedom and healing and eternal life with God. If you want to make that choice right now, that exchange, if you're ready for that, all you got to do is pray a simple prayer after me, mean it with your whole heart, and you will be forgiven, free and secure with God for eternity. If that's you, if you'll just repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. I ask you to forgive me and wash me clean. God, come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.